Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 8. My website is www.jbsba.com, and my, if you'd like to give us a call, comment, question, I should say call, if you have a question or a comment, we handle those by email, and that is askjim@jbsba.com. I'll get this straightened out in a minute, folks. You'd think I'd done this before, wouldn't you? And that's www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and it's free. It comes every week by email. Mike Mutzel, Michael R. Mutzel, to be exact, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. Michael is the author of They're Not Aloof, They're Just Generation X, Unlock the Mysteries of Today's Human Capital Management. And Mike's an old friend of ours, and he's joining us right now. We're going to talk about this interesting demographic. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back, as always. And, Mike, one of the things that you spend a lot of time talking about is demographics, especially a certain demographic. You really focus on the Gen Xers. Now, just for the benefit of those folks who might not be tracking the different generations, why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown? Start with the, we got the GI generation. They're my parents, and they're the folks who are in their 70s and 80s now, and then you got the little half generation, so to speak, between them and the boomers. I've forgotten what they call them, and take us from there and bring us on down to and identify all the other gens.
I'd be happy to. The boomers is perhaps the largest generation since they started measuring. 75 million folks, probably age 39 or 40 through age 55 or 58.
Yeah. Some of them are a little bit older than that, I think, aren't they? I hate to say it, Mike, but some of us are getting closer to 60.
Well, in that case, it's definitely up through 60.
But anyway, okay, that's the boomers.
That's the boomers, and it's an extremely large group. From there, you go to kind of my area of expertise, which is the Gen Xers, which, once again, authors disagree on the exact years, but basically people that are in their mid-20s through their mid to late 30s.
Right.
And the interesting thing about that group is that it's only 55 or 60 million, and they change jobs every 30 seconds.
I didn't think there were that many of them. I was thinking there were only like 30 or 35 million Xers.
Well, once again, kind of depends on the exact years, but
yeah.
Clearly in the neighborhood of 15% smaller than the boomers.
Okay.
And then from there down, we've got what we originally called Generation Y. They've decided they don't want to be called Generation Y. They want to be called Millennials.
Millennials, all right.
Millennials, which would range from the late teens right now through the mid-20s. And then the young ones now are being referred to affectionately, of course, as Zippies, Generation Z.
Yeah. Well, what about the Ys? Their ranks are cranked up. They're closer to the boomer size, aren't they, the Ys?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Generation Y is back in the 62 to 65 million range.
Now, one of the things that, by the way, you were interviewed on Bloomberg TV recently, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. It was a great experience.
How did that go? How was your interview? I'd like to know what the person interviewing you what his thoughts were.
You know, I rarely get interviewed by Gen Xers. And
yeah, he was a Gen Xer.
Yeah, this Gen Xer had read the book, and when I talked about the fact that traditionally corporations think of them as aloof and no loyalty, there are reasons for that, and certainly there are ways to make Gen Xers MVPs in organizations, he jumped on the bandwagon and immediately started into the fact that they're not understood, they're never get a chance in corporations, and corporations are out to get them and not willing to understand all the things that they bring to the table. Actually, he was a little aggressive for my taste.
So you felt like he had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder as a Gen Xer?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that he had a
maybe it was like a pole, not a chip, but more like a log on his shoulder, huh?
Yeah, and he was positioning me as the champion of their cause. You know, you've been referred to as a flaming advocate of Gen X, and you're here to support us. And when the people saw me on TV at age 47 with all my gray hair, I'm sure they were really surprised.
Well, what about, do you think that attitude that you're the interviewer on Bloomberg, do you think that's the attitude of a lot of Xers, Gen Xers?
I think some of the ones in the media are a lot more aggressive. Actually, just the opposite. You know, when I do interviews with management teams and continue my research on Gen Xers, a lot of Gen Xers read the book and we sit down and talk, and they, for the first time, start to understand the reasons on why there are such significant differences between them and the boomers.
Finish up. I thought you were through.
Well, like as an example, I'll talk to a Gen Xer and I'll say Gen Xers change jobs every 24 to 36 months, and the Gen Xer will roll his or her eyes and say, man, you know what? I'm 33 years old. I've had 4 jobs since I got out of college, and I just wasn't happy with the organization.
Yeah.
And then we start to talk about, you know, the issues of trust and loyalty. Loyalty is a two-way street. You know, most senior management teams think that this group has no loyalty to the organization, and the Gen Xer looks at it and says, you know, show me an instance where the major corporation or the Fortune 100 has shown loyalty to their employees on a macro basis, and they just can't find it.
Well, job security is a myth. It always was, but it was sort of a truism back in the 20th century for a while, but for the last 25, 30 years, job security is a myth. You have to make your own job security. There's nothing guaranteed anymore. Do you think part of the reason of this attitude of the Gen Xers is because they saw their parents, you know, after working for a company maybe for 10 or 15 or 20 years or whatever, lose their job, being downsized in their 40s and 50s? You think that's their attitude?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, in the 1980s alone, IBM, General Motors, and AT&T, just those three laid off 3.8 million workers.
Well, I was downsized twice in the 80s.
Well, and, you know, what I didn't realize when I started the research was when I was talking to them about their life and significant events in their life, and a lot of times these issues came up, but in the eyes of a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old, that's somebody saying that corporate America says mom or dad's not good enough to work here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my hero is no longer good enough for IBM, no longer good enough for AT&T, and it kind of transcends itself into an opinion of not get the company before they get you, but I really need to look out for myself.
Do you think
combine that with their enhanced social values and the priority they put on family and charity and so on and so forth.
So the question is, whether they saw those layoffs in the 80s as a natural course of the marketplace, which they primarily were, or if they saw them as something that was done to them. And to me, therein lies whether you have a healthy, attitude going forward or an unhealthy one. And I want to get Mike to talk about that a little bit more and how that impacts. When we come back, we're going to talk about how all this impacts you and me, small business owners, when we're hiring these Gen Xers, and we do hire them. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Mike Mutzel. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Mike Mutzel. Let me spell Mike's name for us. The last name is Muetzel. Muetzel. Michael R. Mutzel. That's the name on the book. They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. And the foreword is by our friend Ken Blanchard. And Mike, you had a really nice piece in the New York Times recently, didn't you?
Yeah, actually, it all started with an article that was run in Time Magazine on Gen X moms exiting the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really an interesting dynamic, you know. There's a lot of women, bless their hearts, that have worked so hard to give women equal rights in the workplace, equal opportunity for titles, equal opportunity for advancement, and certainly equal pay. And some of these boomer-age female managers are a little chagrined about, you know, they kind of paved the way, and there's a lot of Gen X moms that reach the level of middle to upper level management, decide to have their children a little bit later in life, and at age 36 or 38, decide to start a family and leave the workplace.
Hmm.
And there's a little bit of friction there between the boomer women that pioneered the way, saying, hey, listen, you know, it didn't used to be this way. The bottom line to your listeners is that I think that it is a tremendous opportunity the first organizations that learn how to accommodate talented female managers, Gen X moms staying at home and still take advantage of what they bring to an organization in terms of resources, in terms of flexibility. There's an opportunity to bring these folks into the workplace on a part-time or a flex-time basis, get some tremendous expertise for your organization in a small business, potentially far more than you could afford to pay,
or even,
you know, that
maybe,
individual position.
Maybe even full-time as a telecommuter.
Absolutely.
People are
Absolutely.
Making their living all over the world working full-time with a 29-second commute. Maybe an 8-second commute.
And I mean,
it's happening all over the world. And the thing is, Mike, one of the things I'd like to point out to folks is that every manager out there, every small business owner who has any employees, and I'm not just going to say women. You're talking about moms in your op-ed piece. Congratulations, by the way, on that, getting that in the New York Times, Mike. But the thing is it's not just women either. It's men. You're 24 hours away from one of your key people walking in and telling you that they've just had a life-changing event. Somebody's sick, somebody's hurt, somebody's moved in, somebody's moved away. Something's happened, and they say, you know what, I can't work here anymore. I've got to be home taking care of this or that, or I've got to move across the state or something. And you better be prepared to say, well, wait a minute. Maybe we can handle this another way. Maybe we can meet your needs and my needs and the company's needs at the same time. And Mike, as you know, a lot of that solution can be found in a laptop computer and a broadband connection.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, big corporations oftentimes, if it doesn't fit their little mold or their little box, they're not going to be willing to consider that.
Mike, more and more companies are realizing that. Though I see it all the time. I see more and more. I work with a lot of big companies, and when I work with their people, more and more of them are at home. And these aren't even people who've had a catastrophic or some kind of a life-changing event. They just like working from home.
Right. What I find, though, is that they have positions, they think, or at least my experience has been, there's positions where if they want to telecommute 3 or 4 days a week from home, that's fine, as opposed to full-time, or taking a position and instead of telecommuting or not telecommuting with a single individual, why not make it two people for one position? And companies that have done that have found the productivity for two people working one 8-hour day philosophically has been significantly higher.
You call that job sharing, don't they?
I call that job sharing.
Mm-hmm. Mike, before we go any further, give us your website, please.
It's www.mxmutezel.com.
Mxmutezel, mxmutezel.com.
Right.
And, all right, what do we find when we get there?
You will find breakdown on the senior level management workshops and some of the speaking that I do around the country, as well as excerpts from the book and a little bit of philosophy on Gen Xers. If you're just looking for some general information on Gen Xers, all that's available on the site as well.
Where's the book available?
The book is available at a lot of booksellers, not all of them. Also Amazon.com, as well as on my website, any of the ones we send out of here, we're happy to sign for the listeners.
And also, folks, if you're on my website and you find Michael, if you're looking through, listening to some of the archives that we've got with Michael, you can find his book listed there, too. We have it available on our site, too.
I like that idea because you're a lot more famous than I am.
Hey, Mike, I've got about a minute. You've stirred up a little controversy with some of your ideas. Tell us, why do you think you've been such a flashpoint?
I never expected to be, you know, so controversial, but what I find is, especially with the CEO groups that I work with through tech, you know, when you suggest that people need to change, the farther up you move the food chain, a lot of times the more resistance you find. And I don't think we need to turn the organization upside down, but I think we need to tweak it to make sure that we get the benefit out of what could be the most entrepreneurial, most creative generation of workers ever.
That's exactly right. You're right about that, the entrepreneurial part. The fact that a Gen Xer is not only changing jobs every 3 years, but doing it as a strategy tells you they're pretty darn entrepreneurial, doesn't it?
And the fact of the matter is, even Inc. magazine, you know, a large percentage of their 100 fastest-growing businesses are start-at-home businesses or niche-oriented service businesses started and run by Gen Xers.
Absolutely. Mike Mutzel, we got to wrap it up because we come to the end of our visit. Thank you very much for being here today. Good job, and let's do it again real soon.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks. Mike Mutzel, ladies and gentlemen, the author of They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. He'll be back. I got to take a quick break. It's 29 after. We'll be right back with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, the chairman of the Small Business Survival Committee. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.